Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Do you think I love hearing that?
Of course I do.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is, some people have accused us in our four shows of being hokum.
I know.
How does that fit in the title of the movie we just saw?
It's kind of basically because there was something mentioned, narcissistic, self-centered jerk of an American writer who goes to Irish, a B&B hotel, whatever, spread his ashes of his parents who honeymooned there. And there was something that the whole thing about the ghost that haunts the place. And he believes, oh, that's just a hokum.
Right.
You know, that's just folklore.
This is a typical Stephen King-like character who could be King himself.
Oh, because a lot of King's characters were writers.
So this remote Irish hotel apparently has a witch peopling it. Adam Scott plays this writer stone cold perfect.
Yes, and he's the only American really in the whole thing. You know, it's a mostly like Irish cast. The director, kind of well known recently, he's a young guy.
Yeah.
And two that I haven't seen. And another one that he's done that people really like. They were independent, low-budget ones, but he's got a flair, and boy, does he have a flair in this movie.
Yeah, Damian McCarthy, and he's the writer of this one.
Yes.
As well as the director.
Yes. A main character in this movie is the inn itself. He's very good. It's almost, in a way, kind of reminded me of that recent one that we did about possession. Undertone.
Oh, Undertone. Oh, yeah.
Yes. His direction, design, and also the use of physical spaces. And this one had several good jump scares in it.
It
was really a thinking person's movie. You know, this has so many layers there that can be explored in this film.
One of the things that interested me about this film is that so much of the possession, so much of the hokum of all this is tied into his psyche. And I think many writers have tried to integrate the two, none so well as King, I believe.
I believe so.
And his best example, of course.
The Shining. Which, of course, Jack Nicholson's character in that, Torrance, was a writer.
Yes,
with writer's block like this guy, couldn't figure out, Adam Scott's character in this one is trying to figure out the ending to his successful series of books, The Conquistador.
Yeah, in fact, first images are of a conquistador.
Yes,
out in
yes.
the desert with some kid.
It gives you kind of a feeling, too, that his conquistador novels had been adapted for movies. But also, he interacts so well as such a jerk to the Irish cast is very good. It lends a real degree of authenticity.
The shots of maybe the witch or not, or whatever is investing in this place, are quick.
Yes.
You can barely tell. And that's to titillate the rest of us who are so nosy about everything that happens.
But I just love that the image of the witch that they've got, with instead of the little pointy witch heads, bunny ears and these eyeball-popping eyes that were truly terrifying, is very good. But the he's there because he believes that his mom and dad had their honeymoon in the honeymoon suite that has been closed up for years because of this whole thing about the witch. There's so much there that it would be a spoiler to give it away
for
the people that, of course, I'm going to recommend that they go see it if they like a good ghost story.
I know.
Like that.
The sheep detectives, and the sheep detectives, the clueless cop, there's only one cop in this small British village, but he has to be prompted by the voice of Louis Dreyfus to explore the inside of this guy's wagon, his traveling hotel, you know, which would be the obvious first thing you'd do. And so in here, almost the same thing, like they're the innkeeper may be clueless about going into that room.
Yeah, but you know, this movie had so many other layers of the theme of guilt and loss and grief.
Oh, yeah.
And it's wrapped up, and really, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a murder mystery. One of the few people who worked there that he was halfway kind to was this rather fetching brunette.
Fiona.
Fiona, who goes missing. The plot is propelled not only by the whole thing dealing with the witch, but also turns out to be a murder mystery.
As you're talking about her, I have the only smart quote in the whole thing. It's not that this isn't smart.
Yeah.
It's well written, but it's not meant to be anything other than intriguing for those who look. But Fiona says to him, she says to Ohm, his name is Ohm, which
Ohm.
I thought was funny.
Yes,
Ohm Bauman.
Right. Yes, Ohm Bauman.
Anyway, so Fiona says, she sees him in the hallway. He's new there. She says, "Are you lost?" And he says, "What does it look like?" And she says, "Well, with that attitude, you can stay lost."
Choose
your kind of
woman.
Oh, you've,
yes,
without question,
our type of woman.
Yeah, you're in love already with her.
Oh, yeah. But other kind of similar ghost movies, too, that have a lot of different things, like murder subplot that really drives the narrative, a sensitive, artistic type of person who is anti-hero, definitely though the protagonist of it, a writer in this case, but and the same case with The Shining, but also there's several movies, a musician that I think of, one of my favorites, The Changeling, with George C. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
That he's a music composer.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like the sensitive type are maybe more susceptible, you know,
good,
to this whole...
Well, hold that
thing.
Thought. All yeah. right, hold it, and then we'll talk about it later.
Yes.
We'll talk about some of these hoary hotels. The movie we're reviewing
yes.
is what you and I consider a very smart horror film.
Yes.
We're not necessarily big on horror films, but this is one I'm certainly going to recommend. What do you recommend?
I would recommend it. I would definitely recommend it.
It's called Hokum.
My niece is really excited to
Beth
see
is,
it, and I told her that she would really like it. And people who like a good ghost story, but also kind of a whodunit murder mystery type of thing, I think you'd like this.
Well, Wayne Miller, we're talking yep. about Hokum.
Yes.
Which is a smart, scary film.
Yes.
Are you thinking of any other films?
Oh, definitely. A number of them. A number of them come to mind. You know, and after, I could identify more with good ghost story than I can with the zombie apocalypse or a werewolf, you know,
yep.
Chewing
yep.
at me. A blood-sucking vampire,
I agree.
A mummy. Those are monster tropes. There's so much, I believe, in the folklore of that we were raised in, that everybody's raised in. Who doesn't like a good ghost story? And, John, we had already mentioned it. The Shining.
That's
really
the one you're going to think of for all those of you who want anything about movies.
Yes.
You're going to think about this one.
Yes.
And it's Stephen King.
Yes.
Which this is patterned after, I
yep.
think.
A number of other ones. Some of my favorites and favorite date movies, you know, back when I was younger. One particularly that I liked called, and I'd mention it, The Changeling, which also had murder mystery driving point to it. And the interesting thing, some of my favorite ghost movies, the ghosts were really children. And another one that I thought was excellent that also had a murder plot, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, good
with
one.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And I thought that was superb.
Well, you would be interested in on the writer motif.
Yes.
And Stephen King, the yeah. film that came out in 2007 called 1408.
Yes.
And that's the number of the hotel room.
Yes.
John Cusack.
John Cusack, yes.
Yeah, he had a couple at that time. Now, this one, he's as a writer.
Yes.
And he checks in the infamous room
yep.
in the Dolphin Hotel in New York City, progressively disturbing
yep.
and fatal stuff going on. And I want to mention the other Cusack identity.
Yes, which was very interesting. Yes, I took Audrey to see
Ray Liotta was in there.
Yeah, a number of
Pete.
A number of fairly well-known B-list celebrities.
Well, this has got Agatha Christie written all over it. You've got 10 people stranded in a hotel.
Yes.
And you have to go through all of them as to who.
Let me throw another one that had a murder plot that I really liked with Lucas Haas. Back probably a good 20 years ago, The Lady in White. That was a superb ghost story. And once again, the plot was kind of propelled not so much by the ghost, but by a murder mystery. And I'm going to throw out another one there with an all-star cast called Ghost Story. Mm-hmm. Peter Straub, who's collaborated on some novels with Stephen King. Mm-hmm. And that had Fred Astaire and John Houseman and Douglas Fairbanks Jr. And once again, that was also propelled by a murder plot.
Well, I got another one for you.
Okay.
But I think I saw it, I'm pretty sure, and it was only 7 years ago.
Yes.
And it's called Bad Times at the El Royale, starring Jeff Bridges.
Yes, yeah.
There's a classy guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's seven strangers.
Yes.
Who are in a rundown hotel and unravel amid betrayal, violence, and tension. The narrator's psychological complexity and layered storytelling make it an intense thriller, as Insider, I think, said. But that was one I forgot about.
Yep. Now, here's one that I wish I had forgotten about because I was so disappointed when I went to see it.
Oh, but no.
Gilda Radner and Gene Wilder, the youth, and Dom DeLuise, the Haunted Honeymoon. And which really...
Good one. Well, I have one that is appropriate today. It's called Hotel in 2004.
Yes.
The disappearance of an employee at a quiet Austrian hotel.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. A very famous one, based, I believe, on a Henry James novel, The Turn of the Screw.
Oh, yeah.
Which was...
Bad Kids.
Yes. Yes. And one that was really quite intriguing that had a twist ending with Nicole Kidman called The Others.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite good.
Sure, good one.
Right at the end of World War II, and her two children, and waiting for her husband to come home. But then there's that I won't give it away, a really good twist. Another one, and this is way out there, but it's also based on the murder one. And I remember my former wife and I watching it one night. It was from 1944, called The Curse of the Cat People, touted as a sequel to more of a horror film of a woman turning into a leopard called The Cat People by a master filmmaker for Universal, Val Lewton. But The Curse of the Cat People, really outside of a few characters, didn't have anything to do with it. It was a very good ghost movie with a murder plot.
Yeah, I remember the title's catchy. Ancient and people whose names are immediately going to jump out at you.
Yeah.
There's one called The Tower of Terror in 1997, and it stars Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, God.
My gosh. Jeez. Is that a blast from the past?
Yes, it is. And that one I have to look up.
Ghosts in a Hotel.
Okay. Okay, that's
the other
cool
one. I have another lady who's gone, and I'm so sorry, as an actress, because she was really tough, Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, yes. Oh, she's...
In Vacancy, 2007.
Yes, and she's still in movies.
Is she?
Yes, she's very good. Yes, she's perfect.
But as a young woman, she was taking over those, what Charlize now has.
Now, one I've got, John, that a flip side of The Lady in White is one called Woman in Black, with Daniel Radcliffe, and once again...
Oh. What year do you know was that?
Not that long ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago. It was after the British solicitor in this one.
Uh-huh.
And that was one that I would recommend. John, some of our many fans out there would beat us if we failed to mention something like Poltergeist.
I know. It almost seems like it doesn't need mentioning, but you're right. It does. I think that one's like that. Yeah. Now, do you have any more there? I got a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps the most famous motel horror movie.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's like the one you just mentioned. It's like we take it for granted. But this is like the mother of them all, and this was back in 1960.
Oh, you're talking about the Haunting.
No, I'm not, but I'm interested in that.
There's a Haunting of Hill House with Vincent Price.
Good one for you.
Yes.
Well, I'm thinking of the famous, it's so famous we don't even mention it, Psycho.
Oh, geez.
I know. Yeah. I knew you'd do
that. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that, but in a way, it's almost more of a possession movie, but not from a demon.
Well, as it turns out.
Possessed by his dead mother's is more of a psychological.
But it still is a motel.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You're
absolutely right. Jeez. You know, smack me.
But again, my point is that, like the other one you were mentioning, we just, like Poltergeist. Like, yeah, of course. We say, of course. Oh, well,
yes.
Yeah, you know. And why am I forgetting? Well, I'm looking at others that others might not have heard about.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And not on the hotel theme, but ones like the Amityville Horror movies. Mm-hmm. Paranormal Activity are really ghost movies, too, but with some possession. So there's a thin line since we recently did one, Undertone, about a demonic possession.
Yeah, right.
And there's a thin line between an apparition as opposed to somebody being possessed by that apparition or spirit.
Well, how about 15 years ago, and a lady who only recently cropped up just because of the film, Kelly McGillis and The Innkeepers.
Oh, The Innkeepers, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah. One. And the hotel's dark past seeps into reality. That's pretty cool. But
another one, and I had mentioned it in a previous movie that we reviewed, a really good one from 1944, I believe, Uninvited, with Ray Milland. That was a good story type of thing.
Good time.
With a very good plot device that propelled it along.
Excellent. Now in a seedy motel in 2006, one of the actresses I really miss, who I thought was very attractive, Ashley Judd.
Oh,
in Bug, 2006.
Yes.
Along with Michael Shannon.
Yes.
Very young.
Very good. Yes, he does a good job.
A lot of paranormal and delusions. Okay. And then it's characterized as a seedy motel. Nothing better than a seedy motel.
I love those. We'd be remiss, John, to say that we stayed in a room that was supposed to have been haunted when we out to Colorado for one of our dear friends, Lou and Keith's daughter's wedding.
Yeah, Mariah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was a hotel that inspired King, the Overlook Hotel, also taking place.
Probably more famous than the Bates Motel.
Yeah. But before we sign off, I just have to say, one of the things that I cracked up about in this movie, one of the really interesting Irish characters in this was the bellhop. With the little red coat, and reminded me of those old Philip Morris, Philip Morris commercials as kids, as Philip Morris cigarettes.
He was a good foil for our Adam Scott character.
He just
abused that guy.
He was an aspiring writer himself, and was so excited. One of his people he really looked up to was this writer played by Adam Scott, who just totally dismisses this guy. But the one thing, and not to give it away so much, is this is a movie about redemption also.
Thank you.
As the Adam Scott's character, who was such a jerk at the beginning that we kind of wish that the ghost would maybe rip his head off.
All right, Wayne Miller, the film is called Hokum.
Yep.
We tried to dismiss anybody making a cheap joke about us being involved in Hokum every week.
Yes, that's true.
But it is Hokum, and what do you recommend?
I recommend it to people who love a good ghost story with some jump scares, and falls kind of between two movies we've reviewed and seen recently, Undertone and Lee Cronin's The Mummy. That one, on one hand, one is so understated, but the other hand, like The Mummy, was so over the top. And this kind of falls in between with just some scenes of gore and maybe jump scares and stuff
like
that.
Some, but very little.
Yeah.
But if you don't believe us, just go to the Lennox Theater and check in with Sam.
Yes.
She'll give you the real scoop. You'll believe her if you don't believe us.
Yeah.